Hello and welcome in to another edition of the Rebel Room. This is Taylor Byrne alongside colleague Ray Brewer, getting you ready for the holiday week here, not Christmas week. There are many holidays going on, and we have an interesting one, to say the least. Tuesday, welcoming in number... I guess I didn't see what the new polls just came out. Is Arizona still number three?
I thought they were.
Yeah, there was no... No losses up at the top, no reason for things to kind of flip around. And so number three, Arizona, coming in, going to be looking like about a double-digit favorite against UNLV, which is coming off of a very disappointing performance at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Only down one at halftime to number 14, Utah, and then really about 8 minutes into the second half, just the wheels fell off. The offense was bad the entire night. And Utah just eventually wore down UNLV's defense, as you know, the Rebels just really struggled to find anything to go right offensively. They set new season lows for field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, and free throw percentage, and just a lot of I think points per possession was at like 0.68, which I know. I want to give credit here, but I know someone tweeted out yesterday that's the lowest of the Dave Rice era, which, you know, the offense has been struggling the entire year, but this was an extreme example of it. Ray, I know you're not at every game, but you're following along with every game. Did what you see at the MGM Grand, UNLV's first ever game on the Strip, did what you see surprise you?
Not really. The thing is that I'm not like a lot of other people that after a bad performance, I'm ready to, you know, jump off the deep end. Some things were bothersome, though. One, UNLV had just 5 assists.
Yeah, 5 assists to 15 turnovers.
Cody Doolin has leveled off rather disappointingly if you're a UNLV fan.
Whoa, okay.
In my opinion.
You said you weren't jumping off the deep end. On Wednesday, he single-handedly led them to a victory.
He was awful the whole game until the end.
Wasn't awful, but he wasn't like
he wasn't the Cody Doolin that everybody fell in love with.
And then he was at the most important time. So don't say he's like completely leveled off here. I'm with you that it was a poor performance. But for the game, you just said that you weren't going to take any big things from one bad performance, and then the first thing you say is, well, let's judge his whole year off of that game.
What I'd love to see is for UNLV to push the ball up the court. You and I, we sat close to the bench, and there was times when they'd get the ball and Rice is like begging and pleading them to push it up the court and to try to run and to, you know, try to get Utah out of position defensively to get some good shots, and they were just content with, you know, taking a stroll. And for me, I think that explains some of your numbers. I think UNLV was taken out of its game by a better team.
I mean, Utah is definitely better. We knew that going in. Talking to Cody after the game, the whole game were pretty much trying to deny the wings so that they couldn't just kind of get into their offense the way they normally do, forcing them more post touches just from angles that they're not used to, and drives that they're not necessarily looking for or going to get. But just the shooting overall was awful. Like, Rashad Vaughn got 16 points, needed 16 shots. He's had a few games like that. He had a couple of tremendous drives and finish at the rim, a couple of layups there, but nothing else was falling. Pat McCaw was 1-for-6 on 3-point attempts, and, you know, a couple of them go halfway down and out, but when everything's going bad, you know, that's not necessarily, you can't just say, oh, they got some good looks and it just kind of fell. That's not what happened here. And 10-for-23 at the free throw line. Good luck, Okonobo, missed most of those with 6. And that's the one that I'm fine with, because I knew he was terrible at
me
it.
Too.
Like, that's what it is. But when you're starting to, you know, you're off-ball starting guards, which are Rashad Vaughn and John Kendrick, miss 3 each, and, you know, it just adds to it. Like, it all adds up by the end, and just a woeful shooting night.
If you take a look at, you know, UNLV's heralded freshman class, I actually think Good Luck, for me, is the player that's been most impressive.
Defense, no.
In my opinion,
this was his best game.
But just to see some of the potential for me, he's bad offensively, and that's putting it nicely. But at least he's getting close. He gets close to the basket to where he draws some contact.
Yeah,
which I don't know if that's a good thing considering he went 3 of 9 from the line. But he plays with energy. Defensively, he's so long. He alters shots. He has people guessing. And like I said, he gets to the basket defensively. Rashad Vaughn, obviously the Cadillac of the class. But when that dude is not involved, and I think I've said this before, he gets disinterested very quick.
I don't think I agree with that. I think he's just bad defensively.
Okay, well, they're all bad defensively. I mean,
their defense is about the only thing they had go right for any stretch of time that night, because it clearly wasn't anything on offense.
Utah didn't score for 8 minutes. They had similar shooting problems. But there were times when let me take a step back, that might have been an exaggeration comment, but there were times when UNLV just didn't get back on defense and Utah had easy looks. If they actually ran back, and I know not as much about basketball as you, but I know the other team misses it, you got to run back. If they ran back, maybe Utah doesn't have a chance to get those easy looks.
They got beaten, transitioned some. The bigger issues to me were as soon as one of the bigs, either Wood or Okanobo, went out, then Utah was very – they were easily able to dissect them off of a pick and roll, either finishing with the guard or if the one remaining big came up, then just dumping off to the rolling forward or center. A lot of hand-checking fouls. That's what Vaughn especially, that's what he does. That's what Cody does. Shot selection still shows no awareness from Dwayne Morgan. I hated everything I saw from Chris Wood.
I noticed that in the story.
and yet he ended up with 8 points and 13 rebounds. Like that's the most frustrating thing about that kid is he can just go with the flow and just like not quote impact the game the way he's capable, and he still fills up a box sheet and I have a feel or a box score and I have a feeling that he's satisfied with that.
Well, because
and that's a problem.
Yeah, I think he might have, and you hate to classify somebody, so maybe I'm going to regret saying this, but sometimes a lot of kids are into individual playing basketball. They want to see big numbers, and if they go for whatever and whatever, then they think it's been a successful night.
Yeah.
Where
if he finishes a couple alley-oops, gets another double-double, great.
All things are good.
But guess what? His passes are the laziest I've ever seen. Look, I like this staff. There's a lot I like about him. Todd Simon was his coach at Findlay. Dave Rice got him. I think he was the first commit when Rice came over. Mm-hmm. They've been with him for a long time. And I understand that what they've done to themselves with their lineup, the way I would handle it is, you manage it by playing time. If you don't do what we're telling you to do, go have a seat. But they've got so few options that they can't really or refuse to really go to that. But he had 3 turnovers, 2 more that easily should have been. Every pass that he makes, like just with the dribble handoffs, handoffs around the perimeter, he just so casually just kind of lofts it over and all this stuff.
He's got that sleepy look to him when he's out there.
Just all the time. Like, mm-hmm. It is so – I can't imagine, fans who are, like, really invested in this program in a way that I'm not, just watching that, it's got to be so frustrating. Like, more than just, some people who found it frustrating when Carlos Lopez Sosa was out on the floor, mm-hmm. period.
And we heard that kind of because we were sitting behind a lot of fans and you heard what they were
saying. In the first minute – and I tweeted this out, or not first minute, but first few possessions. Chris Wood had a lazy pass that very easily could have been picked off, had a step-back 3-pointer that, of course, missed, and was out of position when they were trying to set up a press, and then because of that, they did not set up the press at all. Like, that's – sit in.
That's
how do you not – like that.
You
is,
just summarized his year and a half at UNLV.
That is coming out so unfocused – so doing everything against what you're supposed to be doing on the court. That and for that stage, first ever game on the strip, we're going to be ready and all this stuff. And
they appear to be.
And defensively, for the most part, they played that first half pretty well. Obviously, some of that is just Utah missing some of those shots as they shot 50% there in the second half, really overcame it, whereas UNLV never got any better. But just a frustrating aspect from a lot of things, They out-rebounded Utah. No one had done that yet this year, and that was a big focus for UNLV. They don't out-rebound teams, or at least they really have to work to out-rebound teams. Did that and lost by 13.
I think one point you made a few seconds ago was something that I knew but I really didn't focus in on, is that UNLV is essentially playing with a seven-man rotation. They play eight with Cordish, but he only gets about 10 minutes a game.
Yeah.
The players out there, I think, know that, and maybe this is good, they have the freedom where if they make a mistake, they know they're not going to get pulled right away. Maybe it's bad, though, where UNLV needs that discipline where if you do something, lazy pass, don't get back on defense, take an ill-advised shot, where they could yank you, sit you, teach you, and then put you back in, they don't have that. And for me,
or refuse to use that. Because guess what? Maybe seeing the team fall behind because you're sitting on the bench and know that it's your fault that you're on the bench, maybe that's what needs to be. Mm-hmm. I know Dave's not trying to teach any lessons through losses, especially now as they enter this stretch. And let's get off the Utah game and kind of move forward here.
Look, 11 minutes later, they have a game tomorrow against somebody who's pretty good.
Another Pac-12 opponent. And I had always said going in this stretch, I actually liked their chances at home against Arizona better than the Utah game. And that's a lot of that is I just think that Arizona plays to its competition to a degree. And so if UNLV's – you know, UNLV is clearly the less talented, the less – I mean, they're just not as good. There's no question about that. And so I think Arizona could be lulled into it a little bit. We get, you know, what is going to be close to a packed house. I've heard tickets have gone very well for that game. I'm expecting whether the final score, the final result is much different from Utah, I'm expecting to feel better about UNLV's overall performance than I did against Utah. That said, I'm not. They're going to lose.
You're not expecting them to win, but if you're a Rebel fan, Taylor, would you be satisfied with them keeping it close, showing flashes of good play? Would that be enough momentum to get you ready for league? Because I think at this stage of the schedule, they've lost four games, all to teams that they should have lost to. They've lost four games. Stanford, ASU, Utah. Oh, they've only lost three games.
Yep, I was waiting for the fourth one that I could think of.
I got a typo that I need to fix after the show.
They are 7-0 against non-Pac-12 teams.
7-0. Nonetheless, would you be satisfied, Rebel fan? Taylor, you're the Rebel fan. You answer for them. With a good performance against Utah, that would you be satisfied with a moral victory? Good performance, but a loss against Arizona.
And it always depends on how that comes, but yes. The short answer is yes. I always kind of judge that based on how the game feels, how it feels throughout, kind of the ebb and flow, the stretches that they're able to make, the lineups that you get positives out of, and just kind of the gut reaction after the game. But if they, you know, if they lose by 8 to Arizona and it's, you know, it's close a lot of the way, it's not like they were down 24 and then just because Arizona completely stopped playing, it ends up being somewhat close, then I would think you at least can take something positive.
What if UNLV comes out, plays its best game of the year, hits all of its shots, and wins by 12? Would you be surprised?
Of course. Okay. Yeah. if they beat the number 3 team by 12, yeah, I'd be surprised by that.
Does the rebellion storm the court?
I hope not.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I'm not a great person to ask for that because I don't always agree with the overall opinion
premises.
But I like acting like it's not a big deal, even when it is legitimately a big deal.
Yeah,
I like just kind of the let's go to the bars, yeah, you know, kind of that thing. But I'm not going to be tweeting, you know, if they win the game, especially if it's in some type of dramatic fashion, I'm not going to be the guy sitting courtside tweeting like, oh, how dare these kids who are in town on Christmas break, whose team just beat the number 3 team of the country as double-digit underdogs, storm the court. Yeah. I mean, it is probably a situation.
I remember four seasons ago when UNLV, they played at Santa Barbara. They just beat North Carolina, and they're down by like 3 with seconds to go, and the Santa Barbara kids just packed that place, a small little gym. And they're about to storm the court, and literally the press row in the student section, you could reach out and touch the students the whole game. And there's probably 200 kids right on my back ready to get on the court.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to like guard my drink, and you got to protect your computer. There's some protocol. And then Chase Standback hit like
a fadeaway
three. Yeah. And they were like, oh, it was real cool. Side story.
So, yeah, so that's the big one coming up. Sean Miller's bunch, man, with freshman Stanley Johnson, the point guard McConnell, who was key at the end of UNLV's game there at the McHale Center last year. Look, they're loaded at every mm-hmm. spot. Brandon Ashley.
This is the game to determine where Zimmerman goes to college. I'm joking. That was a joke.
Aren't you sure? Maybe that game is January 4th.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Against Kansas.
So, yeah, there's this game. And then Southern Utah at home, which is whatever. I mean, that's
Dave Rice needs to get to 20 wins to say he's got the 20 wins. So that'll be win number 8.
And then gets real hard right again December 31st at Wyoming, January 4th at Kansas. If that's a must win, that's troublesome because that's going to be hard to win. Sitting here today, I'd pick Wyoming. But we have some time between now and then. We can see how both teams progress.
Would you, if you're Dave Rice, would you rather beat KU or Wyoming?
Wyoming.
Okay. Because it's a league game.
It matters more for league.
Okay.
And plus, I mean, going on the road there, winning against a very good Cowboys, I mean, that's a really solid win in itself.
But doesn't
Kansas would be nice.
For later in the year, though, Kansas would
I mean,
be
just
more.
Just period.
Okay.
And you're right, you know, it helps RPI strength schedule stuff, but guess what? More important for that is winning your league.
And I think winning the league might be UNLV's lone way to get in the tournament.
Are you talking about the league tournament or winning the
regular Either or.
Season? Yeah.
Either or. If they win the league or if they win the league tournament, they go to the dance. Obviously, if they win the league tournament.
Yeah. Just depends on a few things. They don't really have, you know, we talked about it before the season. You know, the schedule certainly is going to get them up there in strength of schedule, RPI stuff. But unless you get any of those wins, mm-hmm. then it doesn't mean nearly as much. They already dropped, you know, one of those that you were hoping to count on before the year in the Arizona State game and looked bad doing it.
They looked good
Utah,
for like 5 minutes, though.
Yeah, they were great out of it. Great to start. And then you have, obviously, the opportunities with Arizona and Kansas, but those are very difficult. Only ranked team in the league is San Diego State. So they're kind of running out of opportunities here. But there's still a few to remain. Kind of just got started with this key stretch where they're playing three top 15 teams in a 16-day stretch, something that UNLV as a program has never done before. So we'll see how they rebound from it. I'm interested to see it. I think it's going to be a fun atmosphere at the MAC tomorrow night. If you don't already have tickets, go get them. I think it'll be a good time. And we'll see how they bounce back.
And shout out to Cody Doolin. He leads the Mountain West with 4.9 assists per game, which is awesome. And his assist to turnover ratio is 4.5, fifth best in the country.
Yeah, I know.
Even though he's only had seven total assists the last three games.
Yeah, because he doesn't turn the ball over. And he plays like 35 minutes a game. That's really impressive, Ray.
Okay, maybe
as much as you want to throw him off of a cliff.
No, I'm just saying he's the driver of the bus, and right now the bus is on
flat tire. The engine is smoking a bit. There's a few things to fix, but we'll see what they try and do. For Ray, I'm Taylor. We'll talk to you guys probably in a couple weeks. I've been waiting for this moment.